Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also invite you to our in-person Bible study on Wednesdays from 5:15 until 6 p.m. in classrooms 1 and 2. Our parable begins in accordance with Torah regulation and Jewish practice, as we see in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, and Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 14 through 15, where laborers are hired at sunup and are paid at the end of the day. It is possible that the grapes are at their prime and the owner needs extra workers to harvest them quickly. Unemployed workers were available in the marketplace, and a deal is struck with some workers who agreed to the usual wage of 1 denarius, which was a normal day's pay for manual laborers. In our parable, by the end of the day, we have 5 different groups of workers, some who worked for 12 hours, some 9 hours, some 6 hours, some 3 hours, and some only 1 hour. The owner promises to pay what is fair, presumably an appropriate portion of a denarius. The closing scene in which payment is made contains the surprise jolt and the point of the parable. The parable is upsetting because it challenges and reverses conventional values, including the sense of justice and fairness. The point is way more than simply, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The first receive the agreed upon wage. It is much more likely that the order of payment is done this way so that all can witness the owner's generosity to heighten the drama. And it is frankly just plain good storytelling. Some of your Bible translations may show a footnote for verse 15. Do you begrudge my generosity? Or are you envious because I am generous? But literally, the Greek reads, is your eye evil because I am good? No one is being denied. No one is being cheated. No one is being given less than what was agreed on. The offense is in the generosity to others. The offense of grace is not in the treatment that we receive, but in the observation that others are getting more than they deserve. Jonah was offended that God accepted the people of Nineveh and spared them. Forgiveness and generosity do not seem fair. As Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 points out, God sends the sun and the rain on the just and the unjust, the good and the bad. That offends some of us. The generosity of God often cuts across our calculations of who deserves what. For all of our talk about grace, sometimes we still have trouble with it. Some scholars think that Jesus may have directed this parable to those who criticized him for accepting tax collectors and sinners, identifying the first and last workers as Pharisees and sinners in Jesus' day. Others have suggested that Matthew is using it to teach his church about how the first were Jews, or the Jewish Christians, and the last were the Gentile Christians, who were now being received on an equal basis. But always and everywhere, the parable addresses those who have difficulty celebrating the gift someone else receives. To be sure, the parable deals with resentment toward others who have received the grace. If we look at verses 10 and verses 12, those who worked all day begin not by objecting to the grace the others received, in other words, the payment, but by expecting that they themselves would receive more. When they receive the just fulfillment of their contract, they object not to what they have received, but that others have been made equal to them. They have what they have by justice, and the others are made equal by grace. The Greek word hetare, translated as friend in verse 13, is not friend in the personal sense. It is more like sir when used pointedly without a name, and in the New Testament is only found in Matthew and is used by a superior to a subordinate who is in the wrong. In the only other two instant times that the word is used, in Matthew chapter 22 verse 12 with the wedding guest, and in Matthew chapter 26 verse 50 when Judas kisses Jesus as he betrays him. In conclusion, perhaps to really hear this parable, we need to hear it in context. Notice what happens before our passage. At chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we have the incident with the rich young man. Followed in 19, verse 23 and through 30, where Jesus teaches how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And in that, at verse 27, Peter reminds Jesus the disciples have left everything and ask what they will get. In verses 28 through 29, Jesus talks about the 12 thrones, how those who follow will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And in verse 30, Jesus says, but many that are first will be last, and the last shall be first. Then, at chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, we have our parable. And then, immediately after our parable, we have, at chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, Jesus predicting his passion for the third time. And right after that, at chapter 20, verses 20 through 24, James and John's mother ask Jesus to give them the best thrones in the kingdom, which ends up starting a squabble with the other 10 disciples. At which point, depending on which Greek version you read, either Jesus immediately called down lightning from the heavens and fried them all on the spot, or Jesus broke down in tears and said, I just can't take it anymore. Okay, well, I might be wrong about that part about the Greek, but it helps us to know where this parable fits, both before and after Jesus tells it, because his own disciples are jockeying for position, wanting good seats in the kingdom, competing for the best seats. Even the mom gets in it, advocating for her boys, trying to put them first. Perhaps everyone is trying to be first in line. This parable teaches us a hard lesson, and most of us don't want to hear it, even as we acknowledge its truth. It might be right, but that doesn't make it easy. We know that we don't work to earn salvation from sin, that it is the grace of God that saves us, not the amount of work we do or how good we are. So we know that, but then we usually put in a wage and work scale. Sometimes we cannot handle universal grace. The 12-hour workers are judging the owner as unfair because they are monitoring everybody else. That's equivalent to sinners judging God as unfair for forgiving everyone the same, being offended by God's universal grace. Of course, the whole point of grace is that it is amazing grace. Grace that can be calculated and expected, as shown by the day-long workers, is no longer grace. Sometimes we are tempted to think that more is better, that being first is better than being last, and Jesus is trying to teach us to see things differently. The issue of how much grace we can receive from the hand of God is never dependent on the willingness of God to give it, but on how we are able to receive it. The good news is that the grace of God is an inexhaustible supply. The parable of the vineyard workers is a brilliant parable of God's universal generosity. This parable is comparable to the prodigal parable in Luke chapter 15. Both have an "it's not fair" moment at the end, leaving us not only questioning God and fairness, but also questioning ourselves. Are we celebrating or sulking? Partying or pouting? Those who have ears, let them hear. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care, and God bless.